So yes, we're back at Ascot in the dark.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, once again, we are not in the dark. We are at the Trans World Haunt Show in St. Louis, Missouri. And this has always been one of the premier shows for the haunt industry. You know, I started going years ago when it was in Chicago and went there for many years, and then it went to Las Vegas and then left quickly, which was a good thing, and has been in St. Louis forever now. And so this is the show that's coming from there. Right now, as you can probably hear, I am walking around the trade show floor and getting to see whatever is new in masks and animations and lighting and fog and pretty much anything you can imagine that has to do with the haunt industry. There's even a place here that's advertising mini donuts, which I think is really smart, because if you know me, if you're not doing culinary at your haunt, you're missing out on revenue. So get in there, make some money. I've got some incredible things coming up on the show today, things I'm really excited about. Probably the most important is I have a really cool interview with a very dear friend of mine, Robbie LaPree, who just received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Haunted Attraction Association, and she is just she's just an amazing woman and so deserving of this recognition, and we'll get a chance to chat with her a little bit later in the show. We've also got what I'm hoping to be a recurring segment called Just Like My First Time, which sounds a lot dirtier than it really is, where we talk to people in the haunt industry who remember their very first haunt experience and how it impacted them. And yes, this was sort of inspired by some of the folks on the Facebook listeners page who started doing that just kind of on their own. And so I thought, ooh, that could be a cool show or a cool segment to a show. So we started doing that here because I was surrounded by a bunch of haunters. So I'm hoping that we'll get a chance in either at future shows or future gatherings to do more of that and come back to it and do a segment of it on shows coming up in the not-so-distant future, I hope. I'll keep my fingers crossed. Then I'm going to, like I said, walk around and talk a little bit about the show. And then I'll probably do sort of a recap at the end and give you all a chance to check stuff out, and you know, on, at least from an audio standpoint. And then I will also post images and video on the YouTube channel, and so you get a chance to get some stuff visually as well as just hear us talking. So let's see what else is going on here at the show. So out here on the trade show floor, you have no idea, if you've never been to this show, you really have no idea how many different things there are that are tied to the haunt industry. And everything, there's more and more food vendors, which is interesting. There's everything from makeup to costumes to masks to barbecue sauce, yes, barbecue sauce, to photo opportunities, to triggers, to controls. It's just overwhelming. And it's so much fun to see people who are here for the first time, because by halfway through the first day, they're walking with these big glassy looks on their face. They have no idea, what to look at next. And so it's certainly an experience. If you're unable to make this particular show, another show that you might want to check out is Midwest Haunters, which is also run by the same people, actually, who run the Trans World Show. The Midwest Haunt Convention is coming up, so keep an eye out for that. Or, you know, if you have a chance to come to St. Louis, start saving your shekels, so that you can be part of the madness that takes place here every single year. Another part of the Trans World Show is their growing commitment to escape rooms. They also offer an escape room show at a different time of the year. But as part of the Transworld show, they have what is called Escape Room City. And basically, this is where vendors for individual products from escape rooms, as well as those vendors who sell completed rooms, display their stuff, give people a chance to try them out. It's actually, as you can tell, a little bit quieter than the haunt side of the convention trade show floor. And it gives people an opportunity to kind of experience what's going on in the expanding and growing industry of escape rooms, or as we used to call them at the Vault, release rooms, adventure rooms, whatever you want to call them. But kind of the next way of doing immersive theater for the masses. And the interesting thing in walking around this year is there are so many different themes that I hadn't anticipated. There's everything from outer space to steampunk to your typical spy versus spy kind of thing. There are haunted escape rooms. There are escape rooms that are in giant trailers so that you can just pull them up and set them up anywhere, and they're just ready to go. There's one called Houdini's Challenge, which of course is based on the master escapist Harry Houdini. There's just companies from all over who are selling their stuff. And if you're looking for a way to generate additional revenue at your haunt, or even if you're not really ready to do a full haunt but you want to do something that's similar, escape room might be an option you look into. Another thing I have seen haunters do is they will use escape rooms not in the Halloween season. They'll use them as year-round revenue opportunities. So you might want to consider it and either go to the escape room show, which takes place, this year it's going to be in Nashville, but it was also Niagara Falls one year, or come to the Transworld show and check out Escape Room City. So, I just found another booth that I think is really, really important to talk about a little bit, and that's a booth that is all about the LGBT community in the haunted industry, and more importantly, any sort of prejudice against the LGBT community. Yes. And they're all about eliminating hate, and they do it in such a way that they raise money by selling T-shirts and selling buttons and all kinds of stuff to provide scholarships, education programs, to make certain that hate is not the thing that we are putting forward. It's actually called Haunters Against Hate, and they have a phenomenal shirt, which, again, if you go to the YouTube channel, you're going to actually see it. A phenomenal shirt that says, "Because hate is the scariest thing of all," and it's all done in rainbows. I've seen them before at other events, other shows, and have just been blown away by the commitment and quality that they have. It's interesting because the thing I love about the haunt community in general is that we are so very diverse and so very open to people who are different than ourselves. And to have somebody come out and use this as a way to, a way to communicate hate is not what we should be fostering. And certainly not in a big, what some people think of as a big, macho, scary industry. And yes, it is, and there's lots of big, macho, scary guys. But there's also people who are a little bit on the outside, or feel they're a little bit on the outside, and the haunt industry gives them a place to belong. If you want to learn more, go to HauntersAgainstHate.com. Sorry, HauntersAgainstHate.com. Yeah, if I were a professional, I'd edit that out, but I'm not. So go to hauntersagainsthate.com for more information. And there's also a hashtag that says hashtag we are all family. And it's one of their Haunters Against Hate shirts. So anyway, if you'd like to see what this looks like, check out the YouTube channel. It'll be in part of the video update of this particular show. All right? So I'm here on the trade show floor, and I am lucky enough to grab not only a very dear friend, but also the Lifetime Achievement Award recipient this year from the Haunted Attraction Association, Robbie LaPree. Robbie, how are you feeling?
I'm doing as well as I can right now and trying to make every day count and keep moving forward.
Well, the one thing that everybody has to recognize is, you know, Robbie may be having some physical challenges, but her brain is just as sharp as it ever was, and she has got this wealth of information. So, you know, if you're listening and you know Robbie, reach out, say hi, ask her questions, because she's like this encyclopedia of knowledge. So please do that. But before we go any further, how does it feel to be recognized for, you know, the 20-plus years of Haunt by your peers and by the Haunted Attraction Association?
Well, very exciting. I'm absolutely honored and humbled by that award, and made it so much more special that Scott was the presenter for that. So that made a big difference to me, making it much more heartwarming. I just was totally excited by all of the people that were there to share in that. And thanks to my team and all the people that I've worked with over the years. They've done an awesome job. I couldn't have gotten here without them. And my family was here, my sister and my daughter, to help cheer me on. So that really made a huge difference and made it even more special.
Well, I thought it was hysterical, because right after the awards, it was like this hive of people charged towards you to say hi and give you hugs, and people from all over the industry. Was there anyone there that surprised you, that you didn't expect to show up? Was there anybody who came in that you're like, oh, you're here?
Well, Leonard and Jeannie Pickle came at the end so that they could see that, and I was really appreciative that they were there. There were people from Cirque, who had previously been with Cirque du Soleil, that had made sure to come because they knew that I was being recognized, and I didn't expect them to be there. You know, I was happy that the Ben Armstrong and his family from Netherworld Haunted House were there, and they've been so influential to me throughout the years. They were the first people that I met and the first seminar I went to about Halloween, and he's always inspirational with everything that he works on. And to have his whole family there, they've been so kind to me over the years. And his son Max is an absolute amazing mechanical and knowledge, and he remembers every little detail. So he's talked to me about all of the things that they're doing with their new escape rooms, and that's exciting. So I was just happy that there were so many wonderful people there.
Well, the room was packed. I mean, the room was absolutely packed, and it was really exciting. I was so glad I got to be there, too. It was really special for me. So as far as the show goes, have you seen anything unusual, anything that you look at and go, oh, that's really cool? Because you spot everything. You see more, you know, even with your visual challenges, you see more than, I think, three-quarters of the people who are here. Has there been anything that has struck your fancy or sparked your interest?
You know, I like some of the simple things. So, you know, I like the heads, the bungee heads. Those are things that I know will work every single time as a scare, and it's all about the timing of the actors, and you can continue to work with that to make sure that it works every time. $195 a head, I think that's a very small investment for an absolute, you know, 100% payoff every time it's used. So I would have a dozen of those throughout outside and inside houses. I think you can make them work in every way. I loved the squishy floor that was just it's a wooden plank on foam. When you walk over it, it's texturally different, and somebody can distract you, misdirect you from the side so easily, 100% scare every time. So those are the things that I like, is that you know you can make work, and that's a $395 investment. Put it in a vortex tunnel, put it in, you know, because it doesn't even have to have a ramp. You can use it in a lot of different ways. You know, so to me, it's sometimes it's simple things, not big things, that make a huge impact.
And the funny thing is, this is coming from the woman who's done theme park for so many years, and she's always fascinated by the little simple things, which I think is super cool. When you were talking about the bungee heads, is that the VFX guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their stuff is amazing. Did you see their new illusion box that looks like it's empty until it opens?
Oh yeah, I loved those too. I thought those were really effective, you know, and they weigh about 15 pounds. I think you could, I don't know that you could keep them on for an entire 45-minute set, and and do okay with that, but I think those were very effective too.
It's funny because I've actually, for a project I have coming up, I've actually written some of that stuff into the venue flows because I agree with you. I think it's so cool and so much fun to play with. So, you know, you're here, you said, you know, you were here with members of your family, your biological family, and everyone who has adopted you. Is there, or you have adopted, that's probably more accurate. Is there anything that that has not been part of this show that you were like, wish had been? You know, I mean, because everybody came around and everybody's here. Is there anything that needs to be different? Or was this everything you expected it to be?
I think the show has grown over the years, and I hadn't been in the last couple of years, so it's nice to see that it continues to expand and grow, and I like the fact that there's such, you know, it's such a diverse group of people that makes it always special. I think the fact that they're adding Christmas to the show next year is going to be a very positive thing. Obviously, there's a lot more in the way of lighting and things that are appropriate, but not just for Christmas, that are easily adaptable to Halloween. So I think that marriage between those will help bridge that gap that most of us have moving from Halloween to Christmas every year. So I think you can then use those elements multi-purposely, and therefore the payback comes a lot faster because you've made an investment that's going to pay off in more than just one event.
That's great. So looking forward, what are you working on now? What are the next projects? What's coming up in the future? Where else can we see your great work and your great mind at work?
Well, I'm not exactly sure right now, but I am definitely interested in any kind of consulting work, especially if it's mentoring or answering questions. I'm always available by phone to, you know, bounce ideas off of, brainstorm, you know, if there are brainstorming or team building sessions that people are interested in, those are things that I'm more than willing to be a part of. Developing new projects, you know, those are things that, again, I'm interested in being a part of. I have a new production company called Optical Illusion Productions that right now is simply a domain name and the start of a website.
That's how they all start, though.
So as I get more to that, I will put that up. I also have iInsights, which is a nonprofit, and that is a charitable organization that I'm getting a 501c4 to essentially, its mission is to help better communicate with doctors on eye issues and eye disturbances, and for doctors to better communicate with their patients on what they may be experiencing. And so the goal is to develop an app that allows you to visually demonstrate to your doctor what you may be experiencing with eye issues, and for them to show you what you might experience if you are having certain procedures done or certain eye drops that you may be taking. So I'm really excited about that. I have a couple of doctors that are actually going to be on the board. One of them is in the haunt industry, Dr. Bill Ramsey. So very excited about where that will lead us.
Excellent. Well, Robbie, thank you so very much for taking some time out of your day to talk to me. And I have to tell you, folks, I've known Robbie for many, many years. Well, we were 10 when we met, but for many, many years. And it is so much fun to see my friend and to share her vast wealth of knowledge to the listener, you know, to the tens and tens of listeners of my podcast. You heard it. Reach out, because she is probably one of the most incredible resources you will ever have the opportunity to meet and to talk with. And even more importantly, she cares not only about the industry, but about everybody she meets. So, Robbie, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me, and I love you so much.
Thank you so much, Scott. And you know how I feel about you. You've been my good and stalwart friend for so many years, and I love you very much.
So I've taken some time off the show floor just to kind of walk around downtown St. Louis. Now, I did this in HauntCon, I did this at HauntCon 2 when we were in New Orleans. It is colder here. It was cold there, but it's even colder here. And yes, I know, you're thinking, Scott, you're originally from Chicago. Buck up, you know. But the truth of the matter is, I've lived in Florida way too long, and it's chilly. It's chilly. At least it's not raining, so that's good. But St. Louis is a great city as well. Right around the convention center, there are a ton of restaurants, great places to grab something to eat, to have a good time. The Arch is there. And if you, again, go to the YouTube channel, I keep mentioning that a lot because I want to make sure people know it exists. If you go to the YouTube channel for A Scott in the Dark, you'll be able to see just a quick little glimpse of it. At least I hope the video turned out, we'll see. But, you know, there's also a casino within walking distance, because it's right on, you know, for those of you who've never been to St. Louis, it's right on the river between Missouri and Illinois. So I'm looking over, as I look across the river, I'm looking over into my home state. But right now I'm just kind of walking along the landing that has, you know, a bunch of little restaurants and such, and I am going to head over to the casino just for a little while. Again, you got to take breaks during these things. They're overwhelming. But it's a great city. It's a lot of fun. Just make sure that if you do come to the event, check the weather ahead of time and make sure that you pack accordingly. And also, I would strongly recommend, based on my experience so far on the sales floor, I would strongly recommend that you leave a little extra space in your suitcase just in case you see that perfect cash and carry thing that you have to have. Because I have a feeling the mask that I bought is going to be tough to get home. But we'll see. So anyway, that's just a little bit of me walking around downtown St. Louis, taking a little bit of a breather from the show itself. But again, I like to travel, so being out here and getting a chance to see the city, and because Transworld has been in the same place for so long, you know, I kind of know the places I like to go. There's a great sushi restaurant, there's a great pizza place, there's, you know, just fun stuff that I kind of know where it is and how to get there. So, anywho, that's me from not on the showroom floor, walking around and enjoying myself in downtown St. Louis. And now it's time for the very first installment of Just Like My First Time. This is where I go around and ask haunters about their very first haunt experience and and why it was important. And so I was lucky enough here at the Transworld show to meet a whole bunch of folks, friends of mine mostly, who had some really fun stories. Now, before we get into what their stories are, let me tell you what my first haunt experience was. And I know some of you have heard this before, so I apologize. But hey, it's my show, so I can, you know, do what I want, I guess. So anywho, my first haunt experience was actually in a friend's sister's basement haunt. And I was too scared to actually go through it, so she recruited me as an actor. And she wrestled me down there and said, "You're just going to scare people." And great. She did my makeup. And I don't remember a ton about it other than that was when I learned that using red fingernail polish as blood on your face around your eyes is a really, really bad idea. And to make matters worse, I didn't tell my mom that I was doing it. So I had to figure out how to get nail polish off of my face before my mom found out that I had nail polish on my face. So I was so young, I'm guessing I was probably, I'm going to say 8, maybe. And so I didn't realize there was such a thing called nail polish remover. So I spent the better part of that afternoon picking nail polish off my face, and I was so proud of myself that I made it through the pain and you know, got it all off. And then I looked in the mirror and realized every place I had picked away was still red because I had really, really hurt my face. So anyway, that's my first haunt story, and I've got tons of other ones, but that's my first haunt story or my first haunt memory. And now here are some other folks' first haunt memories in a hopefully ongoing segment called Just Like My First Time.
Hi, my name is Tass. I'm with Spooky Props Industry. And my first experience in the haunt industry was actually a corn maze in Verona, Missouri. I was playing a werewolf thing. I was very tiny, I was 14, and this guy and his kid came up, and I scared them so bad he peed in front of his kid. And for some reason, I just wanted to do that forever. My goal is to make people pee now.
I don't think you're alone.
My name is Dawn Emanuele from Moonheller Productions. I am a makeup artist and scenic painter and designer. My very first haunt memory was when I was 12 years old, and there was a carnival down the street that had a trailer haunt. And my cousins came with me. He was 9 and she was 6. And when we went through this, we realized that there were pads on the floor that when you hit the pad, that is when the horrible light would come on and the buzzer, and something would smack against a metal screen. And we realized that, so then we would try to slowly walk through and find the pads, and we'd jump over it. Well, Katie, being 6, wasn't very good at jumping, and she would hit the pad anyway, and Scott and I would start screaming at her, and then we'd keep going. And as we continued to walk through, I then proceeded to take my 6-year-old cousin in front of me, and I pushed her out with my left hand, and I covered my face with my right hand until we left.
So you basically, it's sort of like a mind-detecting technique, isn't it?
Yes. So somehow I got totally freaked out. The next time I didn't bother going into a haunted house until I was 17. At which point, my best friend and I thought it would be adorable to wear matching glow-in-the-dark clothing to a haunted house. And it took us a few rooms to realize, why are the monsters picking on us? Oh, that's because they can easily see where we are.
You are glowing targets.
Very much so.
Okay, my name is Chris. I am also from Spooky Props. I don't really remember my first one because I'm way old, but my best one would have to be also the Verona Corn Maze. We accidentally lost power at one point and was having a Caltrain ride. And so it stopped in the middle of the tunnel. Everything went quiet, and all you hear is this lady go, "Oh, hell no!" And we're on the ground trying not to laugh to spoil the next scare so bad. That is my absolute favorite of any haunt experience I've had.
Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no!
Hi, my name is Joel Tulacco. I am a haunted attractions designer for theme parks around the world. And I suppose my first haunt experience that I can really feel close to and remember was not my first time going through a haunt, but it was some time that I spent with my father. My favorite coloring book was always the Big JC's book that set a standard that haunt enthusiasts will remember. But my favorite bedtime stories were when me and my dad would start a story about a haunted house, and he would describe the outside of it and the very first room we would enter, and then we would trade off. I would describe the next one and what monster was in it and how the room looked, and then he would do the next room, and we would go on like this until I fell asleep. And it wasn't until, and this memory kind of got lost for a while, and it wasn't until years later, as I'm a haunt designer, that it came to me that I'm literally doing now what my dad trained me to do when I was a toddler. And I am so proud to be able to continue that experience.
It's either the most incredible gift or just plain child abuse. I don't know.
And you know what? I'll accept it either way.
Hello, I'm Philip. I am the director of marketing at Gantam Lighting Controls and the editor-in-chief of Seasonal Entertainment Source and co-host of Marketing Your Attraction podcast. Got some nice plugs in there. So my first haunt experience, it's a little weird. They're all weird, but I kind of grew up in like a little haunt-free bubble. The town that I was in was very small, and we didn't actually have any haunts other than you have to drive pretty far for them. And so when I was really young, like elementary school, middle school, I would always be fascinated with Halloween. I'd be like having parties, and I was like, oh. And I was like, well, but wouldn't it be cool if I set up a display of some kind, and then kind of got people interested to come through it, or would that be a thing? And, you know, all of my regular friends were like, you're nuts. That's just weird. You know, they were like, we just want to go to parties. But then I started finding these, like, haunt friends, you know, that were the people that were like, I really like that. I can build some props for you. And these were the people that disappeared when it was not haunt season. And they reappeared, and one year, one of them brought me a fully operational electrocutional chair that he had built all year and just appeared with it. And it's like, I'm going to plug this in this room. Is that okay? And I'm like, my heart. So I'll never forget, though, the first year that we actually opened up the house, and it was my grandma's house. And she stayed in her bedroom, and we did a lot of things to the walls that were not a good idea, and it was a lot of repainting afterwards.
That's why grandma stayed in her bedroom.
Yes, but it was the first year that we, like, you know, opened up the yard and the first few rooms of the house, and I remember the line down the street, and eventually we would get to the point where the city had to shut us down because we had multiple thousands of people, and the line was 5 hours long, and it was all the way 2 blocks down. And then we finally had to get out of their area. But I remember that first year, and just, it was black plastic, and it was these, like plaster masks, mold faces that I had made and painted, and it was my haunt friends that appeared. They just appeared. A lot of them would just show up because they saw the event was open. They'd show up in costume. And
if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, and they just popped into their places, and we did it. And it was always just incredible. And it was amazing that, you know, looking back on it now, I was like, it was just black plastic and dark rooms and, like, those black lights you would buy from Spirit of Halloween for, like, $4. But everyone liked it. And it was just, it was, you know, flash forward, but it was my first haunt. Like, first, like, let them walk through, you know, the yard display, and little mini walk through, and, you know, like, one pop out, and then to our first time we opened the house, which was so fun.
And thus, an addiction was born.
Yes, and then I didn't actually ever visit, like, a real haunt until I went to, Horror Nights, actually. So that was, interesting, because
I had... Horror Nights, California, or Horror Nights, Orlando?
Horror Nights, California. Because I had stayed in my, like, little bubble. I didn't know, I didn't think back then to Google haunted house. Like, I just didn't know it was a thing. And then...
See, when I was that age, I didn't know Google was a thing, because it wasn't. It didn't exist yet.
And it was just this weird thing, like, you know, I started getting a reputation as, like, that guy. And so people would seek me out in our town. Like, the theater people would all be like, oh, you like horror? Well, there's that guy, and you should talk to him about what he does for Halloween. Maybe you can be part of it. And so, but then when I went to California, it was the first time that I was like, oh my God, this is a thing. And then I went to Google, and Google told me that I was really silly for not having looked it up before. And then I realized that there were lots of very large haunts that were within 4 or 5 hours of me.
Yeah, so basically what Google said was, hey, dipwad, there's a lot of these.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's an industry, even. There are trade shows.
Thank you for sharing. That was very fun. And explains a lot, really.
Hi, this is Brad. I am in New York. I live in New York City and do marketing. But for fun, I'm involved with the haunt industry, and sometimes professionally. And my first haunt experience was when I was growing up, my family would go to Ocean City, Maryland, and there was a boardwalk with a section called Trimper's Rides, and there is an old classic, still my favorite haunted house from a classic dark ride stance. And I actually, I was probably less than 5 years old, and I was actually too scared to go in. So multiple summers going there, like even like, on the way there, probably thinking about, am I going to go in this year? Am I going to go in? And then I don't go in. I stay outside and I watch everyone else go in. And then eventually, I think my dad went in once, and they came out and showed everything's fine. And I think I was probably like 5. And then I went in, and then I loved it. And I became hooked ever since, and started building them myself in my with friends in the neighborhood, in the garage, and everything just kind of took off. But that really started with that one old-fashioned haunted house that's still my favorite to visit.
You do have a tendency to really like that vintage vibe stuff. So now I understand why.
Oh yeah, that's probably where it comes from. It's the old vintage kind of, not, I don't say unsafe, but something, it's a little
yes,
bit,
it was.
There was one time me and my dad went in, and we're going down. So how it gets from this, there's two stories. How it gets from the top story to the bottom story is a steep kind of drop down a hill. It's supposed to resemble you're going down a staircase and falling. And one time it actually, I think the brakes maybe they didn't work so well. And we actually went so far down so fast, my dad had to put his hand out to stop us from hitting a wall.
Well, and those old dark rides, you're like riding what looks like a mine train anyway, yeah. So...
It's like it feels like something that was built, you know, in the early 60s, 70s, and it's probably the same...
Just
exact
like me!
Just like Scott. Yeah, it was great. It was, that's probably why I like Scott, too. It's because of the same kind of...
Built in the early 60s. Yeah, thanks, Brad. So now here we are. It's the last day of the show, and the trade room or the trade show floor is only open for about another, hour and 45 minutes, and it is hysterical. Everybody is running around. Sounds like I'm about to get run over. Everybody is running around, trying to get those last minute purchases in, trying to get everything that they need packed away, taken care of. Anybody who bought anything cash and carry is running around trying to pick it up before they take the booths down and send people off to get on planes and drive around. So it's pretty crazy. But I have to say, it's been an incredible show. It's been a great opportunity to meet some folks. I took some meetings. That sounds so posh. I met with some great folks for potential projects, and more importantly, just people that I really like and look forward to hopefully working with on some project in the future. And if not, then I just made new friends, so that's totally fine as well. I attended some cool parties. I saw some great stuff on trade show floors, and I got to come to St. Louis, which is yet again another one of those really cool cities. So. This has been a great show, and I highly recommend it to anybody. Next year, as you heard Robbie mention, they will be adding Christmas to the show as well. And so it will be not only a haunt show, but also a Christmas show. So it should have a broader appeal, and we'll get more people coming in for seasonal entertainment. And speaking of seasonal entertainment, make sure that if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to Seasonal Entertainment Source. You can do that at seasonalentertainmentsource.com, and that way you can get some of my ramblings. Excuse me, some of my ramblings in print form, because I will continue to be doing my series called Shining a Light, and so there's all kinds of shining a light on new and different things involved with seasonal entertainment. But as we wrap up things here at Transworld, all I can say is, until next time, rest in peace. Whoa, wait, hold on. Okay, so if this were the 70s, this would be sort of like the hidden track at the end of the album. Only a few of you know what the heck I'm talking about. But now it's sort of like the end of a Marvel movie, so you get this extra sort of quirky little thing at the end that makes you go, oh yeah, okay, cool. Well, it might not make you say, oh wow, okay, cool. But anyway, here's sort of the epilogue to the show. So right now I am waiting in the subway station to head out to the airport. And yes, I like to take public transportation when I go to a new city just because I think it's cool. It's fun to do. So anyway, and I just kind of wanted to give a sort of a review encapsulation of the show. I've been thinking about the last 3 days, and it is exhausting, and it seems like I got here a month ago, and yet it seems like it just flew by. It's if you're coming to a Transworld show or any trade show of this epic proportion, of this massive size, make sure that you take in every moment, take lots and lots of photographs, because when it's all over, you will have met more people than you can remember, you will have seen more product than you could ever possibly think of or conceive of using, and you will be almost numb, if you're like me, when you leave, because you've just had so much sensory overload. It's a great show, it's a lot of fun, and I, once again, thank you all so much for listening to A Scott in the Dark. I hope you continue to listen. Like I said, we are now, I've said it multiple times, but anyway, we are now available on the Haunted Attraction Network. We're also available on iTunes. Please, please, please join our Facebook listeners group, just because that way we can just chat amongst ourselves, and it's sort of two-way feedback, which I really like, and now it's actually grown into something where you guys are all talking amongst yourselves, which is great. And make sure, if you're looking for visuals, go to our YouTube channel, and thank you all so much again for listening. Until next time, I'm still resting in peace. Bye. Okay, wait, I'm still not dead yet. I'm not dead yet. Now it's really like a film from the Marvel Universe. I also wanted to say thank you to all of the podcast listeners who came up and said, hey, aren't you Scott? Thank you so much for your kind words. Thank you so very much for coming up and saying hi. And it was great to meet you, and, you know, hopefully you all got your pins. You know, I gave everybody pins that I could think of. And if you didn't get one and you wanted one, let me know. Maybe I'll see you at the next show. Okay? But thanks again. Thanks for listening. Now, really, really and for true, rest in peace.